Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
You know, Ruth, you could at least have waited until that blonde and I finished the dance before dragging me back here to the office.
Sorry, Steve, but the commissioner said he wanted you right away. And when he says right away, that means stop the music. Here we are.
Yeah?
The commissioner's waiting for you inside. I'll have your credentials and plane ticket at my desk when you're through in there.
Okay, Ruth. Hi, Commissioner.
Steve.
Well, where am I going this time?
Sending you to Athens, Greece.
Greece? Look, I wouldn't know Socrates from Homer.
I wouldn't worry about that. You're not liable to run into either of them.
Well, what's it all about?
Radar. Steve, as you know, our scientists have come up with new developments in radar so revolutionary that many of the older models are now obsolete.
So I understand. Hey, wait a minute. Is that how you located that blonde and me?
2 weeks ago, a complete set of plans covering these improvements was stolen from a research laboratory in this country. It's essential we get those plans back.
What's the line on him so far?
The man who smuggled them out of this country turned up dead in the Azores. His killer got as far as Algiers, and he got killed.
Sounds like a game where everyone plays for keeps.
It is. We now believe an international information peddler named Zundel has the plans.
And Zundel's in Athens?
We think so. Steve, there's a known channel waiting for those plans. Once they get to a certain point in the eastern Mediterranean, our chances of recovering them are nil. We've got to keep them from getting out of Athens.
Who do I work with in Athens?
Lieutenant Janakos of the police. Steve, I don't have to tell you about the danger involved. There are probably several interests after those plans. They'll stop at nothing. They'll throw the book at you. They'll put every obstacle in your path that they can.
You know, this comes as no surprise, Commissioner.
As usual, you'll pose as a foreign correspondent after a story. But your real job is to get those plans before they get out of Athens. Well, that's it. You've got your assignment, Steve. Good luck.
National Broadcasting Company is proud to present Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell, colorful, two-fisted government agent. At all those places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you will find Steve Mitchell on another Dangerous Assignment. Steve Mitchell is en route to Greece by plane. Meanwhile, on a narrow, deserted street in Athens at sunset, two men slip furtively along the sidewalk in the gathering dusk, closing in relentlessly on a third man ahead of them.
Zundel still does not realize we are following him, Ruba. Come, let us close in now.
In a moment, Miklos. Wait until he gets opposite that alley in front of him. He is getting closer. Now, come on.
Ah, undead.
Let go of me.
Into the alley, quick.
No.
Do not cry out. There is a knife in your stomach.
There. This is far enough.
The papers won't help. Give us the papers.
No, I do not have them anymore.
You lie. We tried to buy them from you, but you would not sell at our price. Now we will take them.
No, no, no.
Move, you fool. Out of him.
He is running out into the seat. The car is trying to hit him. Tundell cannot get out of the way.
Get back here in the alley.
Wait. The man is getting out of the car. Miklos, he is searching Tundell. He must be after the papers, too.
Come, we must not let him get away.
He sees us. Watch out, he has a gun.
Get down. Shoot him, Robert. Shoot him.
Taxi!
I'm sorry, sir. This cab is taken.
Huh? Oh, yeah, so I see.
But there's another one right over there.
Okay, thank you. Taxi!
Taxi!
Yes, sir. Right over here.
Miklos.
Yes?
That's a Steve Mitchell, all right. I received information he would be sent here to Athens to look for the radar plans.
Ruba, we must find out who ran down Zundel last night and beat us to those plans. Maybe if we search Zundel's house.
But we must also prevent Steve Mitchell from finding those plans. And that job comes first. Come, we will follow his cab.
Be staying here in Athens long, sir?
I don't know, driver.
Well, I just happen to have some cards with me which will admit you to various places, but
well, I'm sorry, I'm not on a vacation. Hey, that other car.
He's trying to sideswipe us.
Straight it out.
I cannot look out.
Wow. Driver, you okay?
I think so.
Here, I'll get this door open. Can you open your door?
No. No, it is jammed.
Well, come on. I'll help you through the window.
Thank you. How about you? Are you hurt?
Just shaking up. Looks like I got a reception committee pretty early in the game this time. Look, can you get another cab and take me to police headquarters?
Nothing personal, sir. But if you do not mind, just get yourself another driver, please.
Hmm?
You are bad luck to me.
Okay, I guess I can't blame you, honey.
Like your American GIs used to say, I have had it.
So I finally made it to your office, Lieutenant Janikos, the hard way.
Hmm. I wonder if this reception committee you speak of is the same one which greeted Zundel last night.
What do you mean?
He was run down by a car and is now in the hospital unconscious.
Now you think it could have been an accident, Janikos?
I am certain it was not. It was a deliberate hit and run. Several shots were heard. That is all we know at present. Here.
Hmm?
You may be interested in looking at these pictures.
Hmm. Taken at the scene of the accident, huh?
Yes, immediately afterward.
You recognize any of the faces in the crowd, Lieutenant?
No. I have a pretty good line on most of the agents and information peddlers here in Athens, Mitchell. But I don't see any of them in these pictures. Come in. Oh, good morning, Mr. Thatcher.
Hello, Lieutenant.
Let me introduce a colleague of yours. This is Mr. Steve Mitchell, also a freelance correspondent from the United States. This is Jim Thatcher, Mr. Mitchell.
Pleased to meet you, Mitchell.
Hi.
What can I do for you, Mr. Thatcher?
I came to talk to you about this guy, Zundel, who got run over last night.
What about Zundel?
Well, I don't know if you know much about his background, but he's a sort of a shady character.
Indeed. In what way, Mr. Thatcher?
Well, I've been cultivating him off and on for the past few months. Once in a while, he's given me information I was able to use in some of my stories. Well, lately, he's been pretty evasive, but I got the idea he was involved in something big.
What sort of thing?
I don't know. That's why I came here. Figured you might have some sort of line on it.
I'm afraid I cannot help you, Mr. Thatcher.
Well, I won't take up any more of your time, Lieutenant, but if you do get any information about Zundel, I'd appreciate you letting me in on it.
I'm sure you will have access to any information which is made public, Mr. Thatcher.
Okay, I'll keep in touch with you. You going to be in Athens long, Mitchell?
Oh, a few days, I guess.
Where are you staying?
Lyceum Hotel.
I'll look you up. Maybe we can have a drink and talk a little shop.
Okay, see you around, Thatcher. You handled that very well, Lieutenant. For our purposes right now, we don't want anyone to know we suspect Zindel of being involved with those radar plans.
That was my thought, too, Mitchell. Well, what will be your first step?
I'd like to take a look around Zundel's place.
Very well. Here's the key. We took it from Zundel's pocket after the accident. Here is the address.
Okay, I'll go over there right now. I'll probably be calling in a little later, Janakis. Cigarette smoke. That's funny. Some.
So, Steve Mitchell again. This time we will finish him off.
Wait! I hear a car outside. A girl, she's coming in. We must leave.
What about Mitchell?
We will take care of Mitchell later. Hurry, Miklos. Follow me out the window.
Who is the girl, Uba?
I do not know. I have never seen her before. Hurry, talk to the girl.
Yes!
Pack a wallop, don't you?
Who are you?
Well, right now you can just call me Hit on the Head.
I don't understand. What are you doing here?
I'm going to ask you the same thing.
Why, I'm Helen Slater, Carl's fiancé.
Carl? Oh, you mean Carl Zundel?
Of course. Look, I don't understand. Where's Carl?
Don't you know?
Well, I thought he was here, obviously. This happens to be his house, you know.
I guess you haven't read the paper today.
I've been out of town. Why? Has anything happened to Carl?
He was in an accident last night.
What? Oh, no. Is he... Well, was it serious?
He's in the hospital. Unconscious.
Where? I want to see him.
Yeah. That might be a good idea. Come on. I'll call a cab and take us to the hospital. Janakis?
Yes?
This is Mitchell.
Oh.
I'm calling from a payphone.
Yes?
I'm on my way to the hospital with a girl named Helen Slater. Says she's Zundel's fiancée.
I see.
I think I'll stick with her a while. She claims she didn't know about the accident.
Oh.
But I'd never forget a face like hers. I'm sure she's in one of those pictures you showed me of the crowd at the scene of the accident. That must be Zundel's room down the hall. There's a police guard at the door.
Look, there's a doctor just going inside.
Yeah, come on.
You know, I still don't understand what you were doing in Carl's house, Mr. Mitchell.
I'm a newspaper correspondent. I was looking for a story.
About Carl?
About his accident, if it was an accident.
I don't understand. Why would anyone try to kill Carl?
Well, I haven't the slightest idea. Maybe you have.
Me? Oh, no.
Well, here we are.
Yes, sir.
I'm Steve Mitchell. Perhaps Lieutenant Janikos mentioned my name to you.
Yes, he did.
How's Zundel?
Still unconscious, I think.
Can I see him?
Perhaps shortly. A doctor went into the room a moment ago. Maybe he will have word.
Oh, I wish there was something I could do. When I think of Carl lying here unconscious for a day and a half and me not even knowing about it.
Yeah.
Well, looks like you're as eager on the story as I am, Mitchell.
Hmm? Well, hi. Thatcher, isn't it?
Yeah. Jim Thatcher. We met in Janakis' office.
Well, sure. Miss Slater, this is Jim Thatcher, another correspondent.
Hello.
Hi.
Miss Slater is Zundel's fiancé.
Oh? Anything new on Zundel?
No.
Good evening, guard.
Dr. Shelios?
I'm going to see the patient.
Yes, sir.
He must be worse.
What do you mean?
Well, to require the presence of two doctors. One of them is in the room with Zundel now.
What are you talking about? I am the only doctor on duty.
Hey, we better take a look inside.
Where is this other doctor you're talking about?
Why, he is not here. Wait.
Look at Zundel in the bed.
His throat has been cut.
I wish to thank all of you for coming here to my office. I think I have all the information I need at present.
I don't understand. Who would do a thing like that to Carl?
Miss Slater, rest assured the police department will leave nothing undone in our investigation.
I think this killing verifies what I was telling you earlier today, Lieutenant. Zundel was apparently involved in something pretty serious.
But I'm sure Carl wasn't doing anything wrong.
You say he never mentioned anything he might have been involved in, do you?
No, nothing, Mr. Mitchell.
Miss Slater, Mr. Thatcher, you may both go now. But please leave your addresses with me in the event you are wanted for further questioning.
Okay. My address, Lieutenant. 1223 Sophia Boulevard.
1223 Sophia Boulevard. Thank you.
Sorry, I had to meet you under such unfortunate circumstances, Miss Slater. If there's anything I can do...
Oh, thank you, Mr. Thatcher. I'm afraid there isn't.
Well, see you around, gentlemen.
So long, Thatcher.
I've written my address and telephone number down for you, too, Lieutenant. There's just one favor I'd like to ask.
What is it, Miss Slater?
Well, Carl and I were pretty close, of course. There are some things in his house, things I'd given him. Cigarette lighter, a painting, a few things like that. I was wondering if I could have them back as, well, remembrances.
I am sure that could be arranged after the inquest.
Oh, thank you very much. You'll get in touch with me if there are any new developments in the case.
At once.
Oh, you've been very kind, Lieutenant. Goodbye, Mr. Mitchell.
Miss Slater.
Well, Mitchell, any chance we had of gaining information from Zundel is now gone. A frustrating case.
Yeah, frustrating, but not surprising. With something as vital and valuable as those radar plans at stake, it's no holds barred.
Let us recapitulate as to his killing. You say you and Miss Slater arrived at the hospital together.
That's right. As we approached Zundel's room, we saw a man in a white robe wearing a surgical mask go in the door. And while we were talking to the guard, Thatcher came down the hall. I introduced him to Miss Slater, and the real doctor showed up. We went into the room and discovered the body.
Obviously, this man in the doctor's uniform killed Zundel, then left by the window.
Yeah, with that surgical mask, it could have been anybody.
Apparently, he murdered Zundel trying to get information as to the whereabouts of the papers.
I thought that at first, too, Giannakos. Then I remembered that Zundel was unconscious at the time, so it couldn't have very well been that. No. Oh, I think the killer already has the papers and realized that Zundel knew he had them, so he had to shut his mouth for keeps.
But you say when you went to Zundel's apartment a few hours ago, you were knocked unconscious. Whoever did it obviously had been looking for the papers in the apartment. You interrupted his search.
Yeah, that's the point, Giannakos. I think we're up against two teams in this ballgame.
Two?
Sure. One outfit already has the plans. The other outfit's trying to find them. And we're right in the middle. Nice thought, isn't it?
If you're right in your assumptions, if the plans are already in possession of hostile interests, then that means...
It means we've got to move fast to prevent those plans from getting out of Athens. Whoever has them undoubtedly knows your men will be covering all exits. So they'll probably try to cook up some cute angle to get the plans out.
This girl, Mitchell, what do you make of her?
Helen Slater? I don't know just where she fits into this deal, but I'm sure she fits in someplace. She lied when she said she didn't know about Zundel's accident. Maybe she lied about a few other things, too.
Well, where does all this leave us, Mitchell?
Well, pretty much in the dark right now. Look, right after I got slugged in Zundel's place, Helen walked in. So I never did get a chance to take a look around.
Oh, you wish to go back there again?
Yeah. Maybe we could find something there that'll give us a line on whom Zundel's been playing ball with. But first, I've got to send a report back to my boss in the United States. I'll be with you in a few minutes.
Steve's report's coming in on the teletype, Commissioner.
Good, let's have it.
There you are.
Very dull job you sent me on, Commissioner. Was in Athens 2 whole hours before getting hit on the head.
Well, that's just about par for Steve, I guess.
Yeah. Now in middle of charming game of button, who's got the button? Both sides playing for keeps. Man who used to have button, now slightly dead. What?
Well, he must mean Zundel.
Hey, wait a minute. Here's some more. Check on a Jim Thatcher, newspaper correspondent. And on way back to Zundel's house with Giannakos. We'll keep you in shape.
Sorry, Janakos.
What are you waiting for?
The last time I walked through that door, I got a lump. You remember? I'm not taking any chances this time. Yeah, I guess the joint's empty. Come on. We might as well start here in the living room. There's a chance that the plans are here somewhere, although I doubt it. But anything we can find which would tie Zundel's in with the people he was running with would help us.
All right. I will take this side of the room over here.
Okay, Alva. Hey, that's funny.
What is the matter?
Take a look at this wall over here, Janakos.
This wall? But there's nothing here.
That's right. But there was something here. Look, this area right here is cleaner than the rest of the wall. Let's see. Yep, there's a nail hole here.
Ah, a picture was hung here.
A picture or a painting? Yeah, I remember now. I noticed it when I was here before. Hey, that must have been the painting Helen said she gave Zundel, the one she wanted back.
From the size of the lighter area on the wall, it must have been a rather large painting.
Yeah, large enough to hide those plans in. Have you got Helen's phone number with you?
Yes. Here you are. You said the possessor of those plans would seek a clever scheme to get them out of Athens. It appears you were right.
Yeah, it doesn't do you much good to be right if you're too late.
Hello?
This is Steve Mitchell, Helen.
Well, hello, Steve.
You said this morning that there were several things in Zundel's apartment you'd like, gifts you'd given him.
Did I? Well, to tell the truth, I've sort of lost interest in them, Steve.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You've already got the only thing you really wanted, that painting.
Well, I'm afraid I have to be going now, Steve.
It must be quite a painting.
Oh, it is. Very interesting. And very profitable, too. Goodbye.
Wait, look.
And don't try to find me, Steve. You won't be able to.
Now, wait a minute.
So long, darling.
Now, Helen. 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 Come on, Janakos. We've got to get over to her apartment fast.
Gentlemen, this is highly irregular. I cannot let you into Miss Slater's apartment.
Yes, you can. I'm Lieutenant Janakos, police department.
Police? Certainly. All right, then. Of course, but Miss Slater is not in. Huh? She left a few minutes ago. Here we are.
How long ago?
Oh, just a few minutes ago. Here, I...
She's gone, all right.
I don't understand, gentlemen. Is something wrong?
Have you any idea where Miss Slater went?
Why, no. She left in quite a hurry. Took a taxi cab.
Did she have any baggage with her?
Yes. Two suitcases, as I remember.
Anything else?
No, I don't think that... Wait. Yes, she had large flat packets.
Ah, probably the painting.
The what?
We will need you no longer. You may go.
Oh, but I...
We will let you know when we leave. Thank you.
Well, all right.
She took off in a hurry, didn't she? Must have been all packed and warming up her engines.
Yes. We will get a bulletin out on her at once. Dominic, this is Janakos. Trace the cab driver who picked up Helen Slater from her apartment here a few minutes ago. Find out where he took her.
Hey, wait a minute.
Hold on, Dominic. What is it, Mitchell?
I just spotted this piece of paper in the wastebasket here. Hey, take a look.
Libyan Star, 6 p.m.
Yeah, the name of a ship.
6 p.m.? What time is it now?
6:10.
Oh, it has already sailed. Dominic, contact the harbor patrol. Tell them to have a launch waiting for us. Come, Mitchell. We must try to overtake the Libyan Star before it gets outside the 12-mile limit. I'm afraid the Libyan Star has too much of a start on us, Mitchell.
Yeah. Hey, you know... There's something sort of slick about this whole deal. A little too slick, maybe.
What do you mean, Mitchell?
I don't know. Something about it doesn't add up. I can't quite put my finger on it, but...
There is the Libyan Star ahead.
Faster!
It will do us no good, Lieutenant Janakos.
What do you mean?
The 12-mile limit stretches between those two islands on either side of us. The ship is already beyond the limit.
Very well. You may as well head back to port. I'm sorry, Mitchell, but my authority does not exceed the 12-mile limit.
Yeah, I know.
We can try, of course, to intercept the girl at the ship's destination. But as you know, such things are sometimes difficult to arrange due to international aspects. And of course, she could leave the ship at any port along the line. Mitchell, I am afraid that as far as those radar plans are concerned, the outlook is not encouraging.
You know, the more I think about this deal, the less it adds up. Helen had a key to Zundel's apartment. Now, if the painting was really what she was after, why didn't she just go and get it right away instead of telling us about it first?
I do not...
Yes? I read your message for you. From police headquarters?
Thank you. Mitchell.
What is it?
My man Dominic traced the cab driver. Helen Slater did not go to the waterfront at all. She went to number 1223 Sophia Boulevard.
Huh? Hey, wait a minute. Isn't that the address the newspaper correspondent gave us?
Yes, Jim Thatcher. But why would the girl have gone to his apartment?
Particularly when the two of them were acting like they didn't know each other. You know, this deal is beginning to add up. Get this launch in overdrive, Janakis. We're going back to town and pay a call on Jim Thatcher.
Mitchell, there are many aspects of this affair I do not understand.
Here are the stairs. Thatcher's apartment must be on the second floor.
Yeah,
there are still a few missing pieces in the deal, Janakis, but it's beginning to shape up.
Mitchell!
Hey, sounds like someone got here first. Come on.
Mitchell, look! Two men coming out of Thatcher's apartment.
They gotta come through us. I'll take the one on the right.
Mikos, quick! Your knife!
Too late, Buster! Janakis, the other one's heading for the stairs.
Stop! Stop or I shoot! Stop!
Well, you sure don't pull any punches, Janakis.
He should have stopped.
He did. Well, papers aren't on this boy. They must be on the guy downstairs.
Papers? What papers?
The radar plans.
What? But I thought...
Hey, take a look, will you? I want to talk to Thatcher if he's still alive.
Very well.
Well, looks like we got here a little late, Thatcher.
Helen, she's dead.
Yeah. So I see.
They killed her. Knifed me.
Probably won't have much time, Thatcher, so you better talk fast. Who were the two guys that jumped you?
Don't know. They were after the papers.
I figured there were two teams. I guess those boys were the have-nots. It was you who killed Zundel in the hospital.
Yeah.
Sure. You put on a white uniform and mask. Killed Zundel, went out the window, and then you threw away the costume and met us in the hall outside the room.
Here are the radar plans, Mitchell. They were on the body of the man I just shot.
Yeah, and he got them from Thatcher here.
From Thatcher? But I do not understand. I thought
that... Thatcher is the man who ran over Zundel and took the plans from him. He's had them all the time. Helen tried to focus our attention on the painting, so that while we were concentrating on her and the ship, Thatcher would have slipped quietly out of town.
Yeah, I...
Well... He is gone, Mitchell.
Yeah. Looks like this deal didn't exactly work out for either of them.
The plan, then, was for the girl to lure us away with a fake departure, then double back and pick up the plans from Thatcher, eh?
I guess that's about the size of it. And they almost got away with it, too. funny. I was just thinking about football.
Football? What does that have to do with this?
Well, I've played a little in my time, Janakis, and I've seen an awful lot of games. But I had to come all the way over here to Athens to see the slickest hidden ball play of them all.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You have just heard another episode in the exciting new adventure series, Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell. Dangerous Assignment is written by Bob Reif with music by Bruce Ashley and is directed by Bill Karn. Be with us next week at this time when Brian Donlevy, starring as Steve Mitchell, will embark on another Dangerous Assignment. Here's more good news for mystery fans. Every Sunday, you may now hear Richard Diamond, private detective, over most of these same NBC stations. With Dick Powell starred as the hard-hitting, two-fisted Dick Diamond, the Sunday adventures of this private eye are as interesting as tomorrow's race results today. There's fast action and plenty of suspense each Sunday as Diamond fights his way to fame, fortune, and a red-headed girlfriend. Richard Diamond is another of the fast-moving adventure mysteries you'll hear every week on NBC. With such great shows as Dangerous Assignment, Night Beat, and Christopher London. If it's mystery and adventure you like when you turn on your radio, make a date now to hear all these stellar NBC shows. And remember, it's Sunday for Dick Powell as Richard Diamond on most of these NBC stations. Tomorrow, you'll hear Fibber McGee and Molly and Bob Hope on NBC. Transcribed. Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell. Danger is my assignment. I get sent to a lot of places I can't even pronounce. They all spell the same thing, though, trouble. But when I walk into the commissioner's office, I don't realize that this assignment's going to wind up with my life being saved by a ghost. Morning, Commissioner. Ruth said you had an assignment for me.
That's right, Steve.
Well, what do I go chasing after this time?
We already have it.
What do you mean?
This dictating machine cylinder.
I don't get it.
That's the point. Neither do I. Listen, I'll play it for you.
A survey of European industry for the first 3 months of 1951 reveals an overall decrease of 10% in the total man-hours lost due to the common cold, as compared to a similar period of 1950. Of detailed statistics are as follows. France...
That's enough to give you the idea, Steve. The rest of the cylinder is merely a collection of statistics on the individual European countries.
Well, three cheers for the enemies of the common cold, but what's all that got to do with me?
You see anything secret about this information?
Of course not.
And why would somebody offer an American $5,000 to smuggle this cylinder out of the country and take it to Europe?
Why?
Sure, doesn't make sense, does it?
Oh, who is trying to smuggle it out?
A young student named Emerson. He's waiting in the next room to tell you all he knows about it, which apparently isn't much.
Where was he arrested?
He wasn't. He turned himself in when he became convinced there was something fishy going on.
I see. Where'd Emerson get the cylinder?
From the secretary of the man who recorded it. She's in custody, but we haven't been able to get any information out of her.
I suppose you've considered the possibility that the information on that cylinder might be in some kind of code.
Our best cryptanalysts haven't found the slightest indication that it is.
Who recorded this thing, Commissioner?
Anton Marty.
Never heard of him.
I'm not surprised, neither have I. Apparently, he's an unimportant figure. Marty came over here from Europe to live after the war. He's employed by our government as a research consultant on European industry.
Has he been investigated for loyalty?
Completely.
Where is he now?
En route to Europe by boat on official business.
What kind of official business?
5 days from now in Naples, Italy, there's to be a very important conference relative to the setting up of the Continental Defense Corporation.
Oh, yeah, that's the new company that's scheduled to manufacture a lot of war materials for Western Europe, isn't it?
Yes, it's being organized and be held by a man named Trasco. The idea is that raw materials from Western Europe will be channeled to the Continental Defense Corporation as a means of preventing them from filtering behind the Iron Curtain.
Sounds like a pretty big deal.
It's a tremendously vital one as far as the Western European defense. fence block is concerned. Anyway, Marty is en route to that meeting to serve as a consultant to our delegation.
You think there's a connection between the cylinder and the Continental Defense Corporation?
Not as far as we know.
Well, look, I don't see what all the fuss is about, so somebody tried to smuggle a cylinder out of the country. We don't know why, but we've got the cylinder.
We can't let it drop there, Steve, and I'll tell you why. Before we took this secretary into custody, we kept her under surveillance. She had a secret meeting with our old friend Gabor.
Gabor?
Sure, probably the toughest foreign agent we've ever had in our hair. You know Gabor never touches anything unless it's big, Steve. That's why I want you to find out what's important about that cylinder. So go anywhere and do anything you have to. But find out what this deal is all about. Well, that's it. You've got your assignment. Good luck.
National Broadcasting Company is presenting Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy in the role of Steve Mitchell, colorful two-fisted government agent. At all those places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you will find Steve Mitchell on another Dangerous Assignment.
I've been handed a lot of snarled up jobs in my time, but this takes the cake. A secretary offers a student $5,000 to smuggle a recording of a report on the common cold to Europe. Nobody knows what the deal is all about, and lurking in the background is a well-known foreign agent with me in the middle trying to unravel it all. A real cinch. I go down the hall to the room where Emerson's waiting for me.
Look, I tell you, I don't know what the deal's all about.
Okay, okay. Suppose you tell me what you do know.
Well, that isn't much. A couple of months ago, I decided to go to Europe. I'm an art student. I figured I could learn more over there.
But how did the secretary figure in the deal?
Well, I've dated her now and then, and that's all. Nothing serious, but she got real interested all of a sudden when I happened to mention that I was leaving for Europe.
Go on.
Well, she started giving me a lot of double talk, sort of pumping me to see where I stood politically.
I see.
Well, I knew she was up to something, so I went along with it to find out what. Well, finally, she worked around to ask me if I'd like to make some money. I said, sure. I was broke. And she told me I'd get $5,000 if I'd take that cylinder over to Europe with me. Well, then I knew there was something pretty shady about the deal, particularly when she started in on the hocus-pocus.
Hocus-pocus? What do you mean?
Well, she said I was supposed to go to Italy, an amusement park outside of Rome, the Carousel.
Then what?
Then I was supposed to give a password.
What is it?
I was to say, I've always wanted to ride in a carousel.
Huh?
The other party would reply, your parents must have been very strict with you. Then I was to pass over the cylinder and collect the money.
I see. Did she ever mention a foreign agent by the name of Gabor?
Gabor, no.
How about her boss, Anton Matti, the guy who made the recording?
No, she never mentioned him either.
Hmm. Well, all of this still doesn't give me much of a clue as to what this is all about, but if they go to all the trouble to rig a deal like this, complete with password, what was it again? I've always wanted to ride a carousel?
That's right. And the reply was to be, your parents must have been very strict with you.
Brother, what a routine. Hey, wait a minute. This girl's secretary is in custody, and they didn't tell her that you'd reported the deal to us.
No, I wouldn't know about that.
Chances are that Gabor doesn't know it either, so if we kept you out of sight for a while, he'd think the scheme was in operation.
Mr. Mitchell, I don't understand what you're getting at.
I'm going to arrange a substitute for you, Emerson.
Substitute?
Mm-hmm.
You mean somebody's going to take my place, take that cylinder to Europe?
That's right.
Well, who?
Me. Well, I can't say I care for the idea of electing myself Mr. Clay Pigeon, but right now it looks like our only chance of finding out what the deal's all about. So I grab the next plane for Italy. It's Wednesday evening when I arrive in Rome. Outside the city, I locate the amusement park. It's a big setup, complete with Ferris wheel, carousel, shooting gallery, sideshows, the works. And right now, it's going full blast. I head for the carousel. It's slowing down to a stop, but there's nobody riding on it. Then I spot the fat gent. He's standing to one side with his hand on one of the levers, and when he sees me, his face lights up like a pinball game. This could be my boy. I go over to him.
Good evening, signore. Good evening.
Hi. You run this carousel?
Si, signore. You're a tourist, no?
Yeah, matter of fact, I just arrived from the United States.
Oh, I see.
I've always wanted to ride on a carousel.
What's that?
I said, I've always wanted to ride on a carousel.
Well, don't be bashful, signore. Step right up. It's high time you did.
What?
I'm honored to have you as a customer, signore.
Oh, fine. Look, I didn't really
signore, want... please. Now, don't be embarrassed. I have many grown men ride my carousel. Here, I help you. Which animal you like? Huh?
Now, wait a minute.
Senor, you have always wanted to ride a carousel. You shall ride a carousel. I insist.
Before I can stop him, 2-ton Tony's hoisted me aboard. He yanks at the lever, and there I am, galloping gracefully around on a giraffe, all of which isn't exactly the way I planned for things to work out.
Nice ride, no?
What? Hey, where'd you come from?
You seem to be enjoying your ride. I thought I would join you on this somewhat tattered-looking ride.
You must specialize in trick riding. I didn't see you climb on.
Let us say that I am an expert at riding the carousel.
Oh?
And you, sir?
What about me?
Are you an expert?
No, strictly an amateur.
The first ride, Brian.
My first ride.
But perhaps you have been looking forward to this for some time.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I've always wanted to ride on a carousel.
Your parents must have been quite strict.
Well, what do you know? I wonder if Fatso didn't tumble to the password, so you're my boy.
I'm your boy. I am Savvy. Now, the cylinder, please.
Huh?
You will please give me the cylinder.
Not so fast. If you think I'm going to hand this over to you, you've been riding these carousels too long, Savvy. I'll deliver this cylinder in person and collect for it.
Now, we will get off the carousel.
Now?
See, it is not moving very fast. I will go first. Come in.
Okay. Now what, Cervic?
Follow me.
Hey, look, Sarvik. We've been walking about an hour, seems like. Where are we heading, anyway?
You wish to deliver the cylinder in person, therefore I'm taking you to my superior. Here, into the salad. Here we are at last.
I don't see anything, just a dark alley.
Indeed. But for you, it is the end of the trip.
Huh? Hey, a knife.
For you. And for me, this cylinder.
Guess again, Buster. That's better. Now I'll... Oh. He gives me a sudden knee into the breadbasket that doubles me over like a croquet wicket. By the time I get my wind back and scramble to my feet, he's taken off. I pound down the alley after him, but he's got too big a start on me, so I finally give up. Right now, I'm not sure where I stand in the deal. Are they on to me, or was Sarvik trying to pull some kind of a fast one? But I know I'm in it too deep to back out now. And then I remember the fat boy who ran the carousel. Maybe he knows Sarvik and give me some kind of a lead. I head back to the amusement park. Fatso is still standing by the carousel, but just as I'm about to collar him, a figure steps out of the shadows in front of me, and I mean a figure.
Hello?
Well, hi.
You do not really want to talk to the fat old man.
No?
No. You would rather talk to me.
No argument there, but unfortunately I've got business with the carousel pilot, but maybe later...
Oh, your business is with me?
How do you mean?
Oh, to begin with, you might tell me you have always wanted to ride on a carousel.
Hey.
To which I might reply that your parents must have been very strict with you.
You know, this tune must be on the hit parade.
Huh, senor?
The last time I tried out that password, a little gent tried to tickle my ribs with a knife.
But I do not understand. I am the one who was supposed to meet you here. True, I'm a little late, but you tell me, please, who was this man?
He told me his name was Sarvik.
Sarvik?
Did that ring a bell?
No. No, I have never heard the name before, senor. You did not give him the cylinder.
No.
Oh, good. I'm not too late after all, huh? Please, to give it to me, senor? I will deliver it, and then...
Here we go again.
Senor?
Look, I'll tell you the same as I told Sarvik. I'm going to deliver the cylinder personally and collect for it.
Oh, but that would be awkward.
Not as awkward as if I don't deliver it at all.
You do not trust me.
You're so right.
Very well, you come with me.
No, no.
What's the matter now?
Look, you and Sarvik must have rehearsed your routine together. That's what he said, too. Come with me. So I did. Almost wound up dead.
But... Senor, how you could get dead with me?
That's what I don't want to find out.
But all I want you to do is come to that small cafe over there with me.
Oh. Don't tell me that's headquarters for this operation.
No, senor. But there is a telephone there. I will telephone the person I work for.
Okay. Tell him to meet us here and to bring the money. Sit there at the bar waiting for her. After a while, it dawns on me this is quite a long telephone call. Suddenly, I get a hunch she's taken a powder on me. I push aside the drapes at the entrance to the hall and start down it. Then I spot Carlotta still sitting in the telephone booth. So she didn't take a powder on me after all. I go up to the booth and open the door. And then, all of a sudden, I see why it's taken her so long to make the call. After all, you can't carry on much of a phone conversation with a knife in your back.
Back to Dangerous Assignment and Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
slide his body out of the phone booth, and then I see that the receiver is still off the hook. I pick it up and listen.
Hello. 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 Hello.
Hello. Well, I'm getting nowhere fast. I don't know who knifed Carlotta. I don't know who she was talking to when it happened, and all I've got to go on is a voice and a violin. I pick up the phone again and call the police. 10 minutes later, Lieutenant Umberto prances in, a guy I've worked with before. He's a dapper little gent with a monocle and undoubtedly the guy for whom the alphabet soup was invented.
So, we have the following items. A, the body of a girl killed by a knife in the back. B, the knife. C, the contents of her purse which identify her as one Carlotta Donato. D?
Look, Umberto, before you use up the alphabet, I'd better fill you in on the background.
As I was about to say, item D, background.
Yeah.
For you to supply, Mitchell, please proceed.
Well, I'll give you what I know, which isn't much. An inconspicuous little character named Anton Matti dictates a report on the common cold in Europe. His secretary, who apparently is working with a red-hot foreign agent named Gabor, swipes the cylinder and offers an American student $5,000 to smuggle it to Europe and deliver it here in Rome.
Señor Mitchell.
I know. If it sounds confusing, it's because it is. But you haven't heard the half of it yet. I decide to deliver the cylinder in place of the student. I slip the password to a little gent named Sarvik on a merry-go-round. He leads me into an alley and tries to slip a knife under my ribs.
Indeed.
I go back to the merry-go-round and try out the password again, this time on Carlotta. Then she promptly gets herself killed, all of which still leaves me without any idea as to who wants the cylinder and why.
Señor Mitchell, cases like this I usually file under item eggs.
That's a good heading for this one, believe me. You say you found some identification papers in Carlotta's purse? Anything else?
Si, señor. Item E, money. 50 lire. Item F, a good luck charm from a place called Antonio's Cafe. Item G, a match folder from the Hotel Imperia here in Rome. Item H, a train ticket to Naples for tomorrow morning.
Let's start tracing items E through H and see if we get any kind of a line on Carlotta. I head for the railroad depot and finally locate the clerk who sold Carlotta the ticket, but he doesn't remember if she was alone or if not, who was with her. Then I try Antonio's Cafe, but I find out they give out those good luck charms to all their customers. So I meet Lieutenant Umberto at the Hotel Imperia. And one look at his face tells me he hasn't had any better luck.
There is no record of Carlotta Donato having registered here, Mitchell.
I was afraid of that. Just because she has a match folder with the name of this hotel doesn't mean that she was a star boarder here.
I know, senor, but I was hoping...
I was, too.
Well, what are you suggesting now, Mitchell?
There, you've got me. Well, I guess we'd better...
What is it?
Hold it a minute. Listen, isn't that a violin playing?
I see. Sounds like one.
Where's it coming from?
Why, I don't know. Why, it's over there, in the bar.
Yeah, that's it, all right. Come on, let's go over to the entrance.
But, Mitchell, what is so unusual about the violin playing?
Nothing, except that when I picked up the receiver after I discovered Carlotta's body in the phone booth, I could hear a guy saying hello. I could also hear a violin playing in the background.
So?
Here, this'll do.
Ah, there. There is the violin player down at the far end of the bar, Mitchell.
Yeah, and there's a phone sitting on the bar, too. So Carlotta could have been calling someone here, all right. The question is, who?
There are quite a few people in here.
Yeah, it could have been any one of them. Come on, let's go in.
Do you think that you would recognize the voice again if you heard it, Mitchell?
I don't know.
Señores?
Scotch.
Vermouth.
Si.
Mitchell, the bartender.
Yeah, I thought of him, too, but I don't recognize his voice. Trouble is, all I heard the guy on the phone say was hello a few times. Not much to go on.
Well, try listening to the voices of the other people in here.
Okay.
Well?
How can you pick one voice out of that hodgepodge?
Bartender. Bartender.
Si. It's almost impossible.
Hold it.
Si?
What is it, Mitchell?
Quiet.
I'm going to my room. If another call comes for me, have it transferred there.
Very well, Signor Trasco.
Trasco. Where have I heard that name? And the voice. I think it's the one, but I've got to be sure, and there's only one way to find out. I slip out into the lobby, and from the phone booth there, I can see into the bar. I call and ask for Trasco. Then I watch the bartender hurry out into the lobby, collar Trasco, and lead him back to the phone in the bar.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yeah. No doubt about it anymore. The same voice I heard over the phone right after Carlotta was killed.
Hello?
Hello? You still interested in that cylinder?
Yes. You have it?
That's right, Trasco.
How do you know my
name.
Never mind. Where can we meet?
One moment.
What's the matter?
Carlotta was supposed to get the cylinder from you and bring it to me. Where is she?
I'll fill you in on that when I see you.
I'm not sure I trust you.
Look, do you want the cylinder or don't you?
Very well. You know where the amusement park is, the place where you contacted Carlotta?
Sure.
There is a quiet side road just before you get there. I'll be there in 1 hour. A car will be parked off the road under the trees. I will be in the car.
Okay, have the money ready.
Yes, one thing more.
What's that?
Be sure you come alone.
Yeah, you do likewise. I'll see you in an hour.
Well, he's the one, Mitchell?
Yeah, he's the one, all right. Hold it, Umberto. Here he comes out of the bar.
He obviously does not guess that call came from right here in the lobby.
Going up to his room. Look, have you ever heard the name Trasco before?
Trasco? No. No, I don't think so.
Well, I have. Only trouble is I can't remember where. Hey, wait. The commissioner.
The commissioner? What is it, this commissioner?
Stick around. I've got to put a call through to the United States.
Steve?
Yeah. Jiggle the phone, Commissioner. This is a lousy connection.
That better?
Yeah.
Glad you called, Steve. We finally located Anton Mari.
The guy who made the recording?
Yes, he's in Naples, waiting for that conference on the Continental Defense Corporation to start tomorrow. But he hasn't the slightest idea why that cylinder should be so important.
Commissioner, did you mention the name Trasco to me?
Trasco? Why, yes, Steve. Trasco is the name of the man who organized the Continental Defense Corporation.
Yeah, I remember now. He's the big boy in the deal, huh?
That's right. Why?
I'm not sure yet, Commissioner. There are still a lot of missing pieces, but I'm going to try and slide a few of them in place right now. So long, Commissioner, and thanks. Okay, Umberto. I'm heading for that meeting with Trasco. Give me about 10 minutes alone with him, and then close in. I drive out of the city towards the amusement park and then turn off on the side road Trasco told me about. I spot a car parked off the road, so I park my own and walk over to it.
Get in the back seat here.
Okay.
Where is the cylinder?
Right here. Hey, what have you got there on the seat?
Portable playback, battery set.
Oh, brother, you're well equipped.
There's no time to lose. I must find out definitely tonight, one way or the other.
Find out?
There. No.
Survey of European industry for the first 3 months of
1951. It is he. Anton Maticek.
I thought his name was Anton Mati.
Perhaps he calls himself that now, but his real name is Maticek. So, I found that just in time.
In time for what?
That does not concern you. You are merely a messenger in this affair. You have brought me this cylinder. You will be paid for it. That is the end of it as far as you're concerned.
Okay, suits me.
Incidentally, you still have not told me why you did not deliver this cylinder to Carlotta.
She got taken dead.
What?
Yeah, while she was talking to you on the phone.
So, that is why the connection was broken off. You killed her?
No, I think it was a character named Sarvik.
Sarvik?
That name ring a bell?
So, they do not trust me. They have me investigated. Send a miserable snoop of a Sarvik to check up on me. And after the service I have given them...
Look.
This Sarvik, he did not hear the voice on the cylinder.
No, he tried to get it away from me, but I didn't like his methods, which consisted of a knife in my ribs.
Then I am still secure. I will take care of Maticek before the meeting. Sarvik and the party will not even know it was Maticek, because I will destroy the cylinder and then I will...
You're wrong, Trasco.
Sarvik?
Keep quiet still, both of you. Go, Trasco. You think your little secret is safe, do you?
Sarvik, listen to me.
One of the most important projects we have undertaken... The Continental Defense Corporation, and you would ruin it all.
So, the Continental Defense Corporation is just a front, huh? Pretty smart.
You know, it is vital that you not be identified as one of us, Trasco. Yet here is a man, Anton Maticek, who will attend the conference tomorrow. He will see you there and recognize you from the old days. He will know who you are, that you are one of us. Our plan will be ruined.
No, no, I will kill Maticek before the meeting. I swear it, nobody will know.
That is not good enough, Trasco. If Maticek knows, perhaps others will, too.
No.
And I must inform you that you will be dealt with severely for trying to cover up the fact that you are a bad risk for us. Give me that cylinder.
Sarvik,
I said, give it to me.
Very well.
Here.
Oh. Trasco flips the cylinder in Sarvik's face and jerks a gun out of his pocket. Sarvik recovers fast, but not fast enough.
So. And now, sir... With you out of the way, my secret will be safe.
He swings a gun towards me, and I dive at him. It's a dead heat. Something hot creases my skull, and I hit the floorboards. I guess I'm out only a few seconds. When I come to, Lieutenant Umberto is standing beside the car, pumping lead down the road.
Mitchell, you all right?
Yeah, just parted my hair the hard way. Where'd Trasco go?
To climb over that wall.
Come on. Amusement park's on the other side of the wall, isn't it?
Yes, yes, see?
Yeah, if he mingles with the people in there, we'll have trouble spotting him.
I do not think there is much of a crowd now. It's rather late. Here we are.
I think we can grab the top of the wall if we jump. Yeah, I've got it. Okay, come on. I'll give you a hand.
All right.
Up you come.
Grazie.
Not much of a crowd on the ground.
Come.
Now, let's sit here on top of the wall a moment. I think we'll have a better chance of spotting him from up here.
Perhaps you're right. Mitchell, were you able to find out what this is all about before the shooting started?
Pretty much. From what I could piece together, it breaks down something like this. The Continental Defense Corporation is a front organized by the Iron Curtain kids.
What?
Yeah, pretty sharp scheme, too. They get the Western European countries to channel all their raw materials into the corporation. Then they either sabotage the defense program or maybe filter a lot of the stuff behind the Iron Curtain.
And this is Trasco. He was the head of it?
The figurehead. They probably picked him because he'd kept his affiliation with them secret. But then he learned that a guy named Anton Matti was scheduled to attend the conference. He was afraid this was Anton Matacek, a guy who used to know him in the old days in Europe. A guy who could put the finger on him as a party boy.
And so he had the cylinder stolen to make a search.
That's right. He intended to knock off Matti or Matacek before the conference tomorrow. You figured he'd be in the clear that way.
But this other man, the dead one in the car.
Sarvik. The party sent him to investigate Trasco, and he tumbled to Trasco's scheme and didn't like it. So, hey.
What is it?
Look, slipping into that building over there.
That's Trasco.
Come on, jump. Did he see us?
I do not know. I went inside.
Let's go. What's that sign on the building saying, Berger?
It's called the House of Terrors.
House of Terrors? Oh, great. A spook palace, yes. Okay. You go around the other side and cover the exit, Umberto. I'm going in. I shove open the door and duck in fast. It's dark. The joint is typical. Assorted groans and wild laughs. I start threading my way through, and halfway through, the floor heaves under me. I lurch to one side and grab a handrail to steady myself. Suddenly, a large ghost-like figure is flapping in front of my face. I swallow my Adam's apple and poke at it. It's a sheet. Tripped into action when I grab the handrail. I start moving again and sweating. Still no sign of Trasco. Then, all of a sudden, a gun in my ribs.
Turn around. I have no desire to meet your friend at the exit. We are going out the way we came in. Move.
We start walking. If I don't think of something fast, I'm cooked. Then I remember the handrail and the sheet. I hope it never misses. We reach the spot, then I grab for the rail, and sure enough, the ghost flaps out in front of us. Thanks, Spook.
Mitchell, where are you?
Right here, Umberto.
Oh, and the Trasco.
Also right here, horizontal, with the help of my friend, the Spook.
So, you and this friend of yours, you're too much of a Trasco, huh?
Yeah. You might say that against the two of us, Trasco didn't have the ghost of a chance.
Death on our highways is ever present. Full control of your car and attention to traffic conditions will cut down accidents. Observe the truck driver in front of you, then drive as carefully as he does. The life you save may be mine or your own. Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell with Herb Butterfield as the commissioner, is written by Bob Reif and Adrian Jondo, with music by Robert Armbruster, and is produced and directed by Bill Karn. Others in the cast were Tony Barrett, Stacey Harris, Don Diamond, Betty Lou Gerson, Lou Krugman, and Raymond Burr. Be with us again next week at this time when Brian Donlevy, starring in the role of Steve Mitchell, will embark on another Dangerous Assignment.
preceding program was transcribed. Listen for...